Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, what the fuck did we just watch, really,
I know. Hey,
though?
Lon, don't eat carbs. Don't wear that red lipstick, okay?
This might be an unpopular opinion, but Sarper was probably my favorite person. We could discuss his merits, but obviously he's, I don't know. I don't even want to say he's not a likable character. Maybe there's things about him that people don't like, but there's also things about him that are genuine. And I don't think it comes from like him being a bad person. I just think that's just how he is. And maybe he's unaware of how things are. And anyway, we'll get to Sarper.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Nadia?
Well, I can't believe what I just watched either. I do know that I want to probably start with Kenny and Armando because I think they're like the MVPs of this tell-all, this three-part tell-all. Yeah, I think they're the voice of reason. I think it's no surprise that
Yeah.
they're fan favorites.
Right.
But yeah, I want to get your take on like what you think about them, you know, trying to get this surrogacy going.
Yeah, I always like seeing Armando and Kenny on the show. I think of all the couples, they're the most genuine. We say this all the time whenever they're on a season. And this season, and especially during the tell-all, seeing how emotional Kenny got over what was happening, I really felt bad for them. And I had a feeling that their surrogate would bounce out on them, would ghost them.
Really?
And yeah.
Is it because she acted weird when they met with her? Like, was she like kind of out of whack in a way?
I don't think it was weird, but she was very emotional. And it seemed to me that she was the type that would get attached. And Koi and I were like, this is difficult because, you know, and we were just throwing it around. We were just like, you know, sometimes it's known that surrogates will get attached to the baby
Of
and stuff.
course, yeah.
And as we were saying that, you could see that she was very emotional and she played it off as like, oh, but I'll be doing this for love and blah, 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 blah. But my eyebrow did go up and I was like, I don't know. She seems like the type that would get really, really attached. And I felt really, really bad for them when Kenny and Armando revealed that she ghosted them.
Yeah.
That's an emotional toll on them. And he said the process is like $75,000 and they're going to have to do it all over again. So like 150K, like that's a lot of money. Maybe that TLC money is really, really good, but man, 150K. And I think money isn't an object if they really want to have kids. But what really also impacted me was when Tim was saying, I think Kenny is doing it more for Armando than for himself.
Right.
I kind of felt that way too, but I also do still think Kenny does want to have a child. He has valid reasons for why, I think his age, you know, but he combats that by saying, well, you know, I didn't let my age hold me back when it came to dating Armando. So I'm not going to let that stop me from, you know, having another child. But yeah, I hope this is successful. I don't know where I stand on whether to do one, what is it, one embryo or two, or was it two or three? I forget exactly, but there was some discussion about how many they want to have or something.
Yeah, I thought they got seven embryos, but maybe I might have
Yeah,
misheard.
no, but how many do they want to cash in?
Oh, right.
Yeah, because there was
Yeah.
that risk of having multiple children. And I think Kenny was like, I don't know about that.
What do you think about Tim's comment that he didn't recommend Kenny to have a kid, a baby, given that he's what, 60 years old, even though Kenny looks like the most healthiest, sexiest 60-year-old out there,
Yeah.
right? The most fittest, I would say, right?
What's
I don't
your
want to,
secret, Kenny?
I know, I don't want to objectify him, but you know, me and my husband, my husband especially, right? And my husband's obviously heterosexual, as far as I know. He'll always compliment how Kenny looks so good for his age. And I agree as well. I think a lot of people agree. But even so, I think a lot of us, especially parents, like, you know, now that I'm a parent, I mean, I consider myself an old parent. I'm like, damn, I don't want a kid when I'm at that age. You know,
Yeah.
like I would want to chill, you know, at least, you know, slow down my life. Like, I don't want to be raising a baby. But I get that he's probably doing this out of love, pure love for Armando, which is great. But sometimes I wish Armando would take a step back and be like, well, I already have a daughter. Kenny has what, four kids? That should be enough. And even though we don't share a kid that resembles both of us or something, I don't know. Maybe I'm being selfish. I'm talking very selfishly here as a parent. But in a way, I agree with Tim. I feel bad for Kenny for wanting to raise a baby at that age. But you
Yeah.
know, he is very fit. No
It's
doubt.
definitely a valid concern, but I think it's a decision that they both came to fairly. Whether they were holding back their true feelings about the decision is a different story. But I think Armando did say, look, if Kenny doesn't want to do this, then I'm down with that. Like, if he doesn't want to, then I'm all right with that. And Kenny was like, well, I'm going to do it for Armando. So, like, it was a decision that they both came to, and I wish them the best. But again, sometimes we don't always say like how we really feel. So maybe there are some concerns there that weren't always voiced, but I think they did come to it, together and made a fair decision about it. So I wish him the best. And
Yeah.
yeah.
Before I move on, I just want to say I think part of me secretly wish that this is something that they scripted themselves so that they can be part of the show. But I'm not questioning the fact that they don't want kids, but like, I also think that they have such a great life together. Like, why would they want to go through this process? And it's very expensive. Like I think part of me wish that it's scripted. Like they, you know, in order for them to kind of, and I hate to say this phrase, but stay relevant within the 90 Day Fiancé universe, maybe the producers ask them to come back and they're like, okay, but what can we present on the show? Oh, maybe your surrogacy journey, you know? And because at first it was the part about moving to Mexico City.
Mexico City, yeah.
And I thought, okay, that's easily squashed, right? I mean, yeah, you argue about moving. I mean, you know, that's like a normal couple would. But then, like the surrogacy thing, it's obviously something to explore, and you know, having cameras in the clinic to see them, you know, squirt a few out or something. Like, I don't know. Sorry, but yeah, it's interesting, right?
You say scored a few
Yeah.
times.
Sorry, guys. It's my mommy brain. Like, I obviously don't know English anymore. I can't put together a proper sentence, but that's the best phrase you can get out of me at this moment to describe what I watched. But yeah, like, that was very interesting.
Yeah,
At least
it
for me, that was very
was
interesting. So, that was
fun.
good TV. So, I guess that's why I said, like, part of me wished that the whole surrogacy journey was just something that they probably scripted. But anyway, if it's not, I'm 100% wrong, and I'm happy to admit that, and I wish them all the best as well. Moving on to Kirsten and Julio. So, I want to know which camp you're in, because I have to say I was almost sucked into the Julio camp, but then I also think Kirsten dodged a bullet here, because I don't know how Julio let her get away. Like, I mean, dude, what the hell? You could have had free healthcare in the Netherlands and you let that get away. You could have EU citizenship through her. You could have had a good life cycling around Holland, and you just decided, you know what? New York City is where I want, or not New York City, but whatever the New York suburb that he's in is where I want to stay. What? What? Maybe I'm projecting. Sorry, go ahead, Lon.
I'm Team Kirsten. So I think he's a mama's boy. He wasn't prepared. He didn't even tell anybody that he was going to leave. He wasn't prepared. To me, it shows that he didn't really want to go, and he was going because that was a plan, but he hadn't really thought out all the steps. And by the time she came to visit, I don't think he was really going to go, and he was looking for any reason to not go.
Yeah.
So then he fabricates the story, or he takes anything that may be an inconvenience and he turns it into a red flag. Like, I have friends that I text, and that doesn't mean I'm cheating on my partner or whatever, but to him it was like, oh, he grabbed onto that and he turned it into a red flag, and he was like, ah, this is why I didn't want to go. No, you didn't want to go because you didn't want to leave your mom. Just say that. You weren't prepared to go. You didn't want to tell your mom you were going. And you had this opportunity to stay. So, like, you're gonna blame it on her cheating. I think we have to break up. You're gonna make up all this shit and turn the littlest things into reasons why you can't go because you can't fucking admit that you don't wanna leave your mom. Period. That's it. And, like, it doesn't make any sense because if she was talking to some guy, like, why is he gonna move in? Why is she telling him, come and you're gonna move in, we're gonna move in together and have a future there? That's not something you do to somebody if you're talking to other people. Like, they're gonna blow up your spot. As soon as he arrives and you start building a life together, the people you're talking to are gonna be like, who the fuck is this guy? So it doesn't make any sense that she would be
Yep.
like talking or having these like extra affairs or having an affair or cheating on him. I just felt like it was a cop out. The phone conversation, it was very telling that he was smiling. It was a look of relief. And she was like, why are you smiling? I'm fucking crying over here and you're smiling. And he's like, he's still smiling. He's like, no, I'm not smiling. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, that's the smile of like relief that like you finally did what you were supposed to do, which was to let her off the hook or to get yourself off the hook and not go, whatever. It was mission accomplished.
Yeah.
And that's what he was smiling about. Like, it was so clear. I'm like, dude, that's the smile of a guy who just like unloaded like something that was burdening him or whatever. That's what it was. And anyway, Team Kirsten,
Yeah.
she's too good for him. She's a knockout. Like, she's gorgeous. Like, every time she was on the screen, I was like, wow, she's so attractive. Anyway.
Remember when they first introduced Julio and Kirsten? I'm like, how did they end up together? And I'm not talking about looks. I mean, looks wise, obviously Julio has the looks, but like it's just where he stands and what she's about is just, I don't know.
What was their story anyway? I forgot. Sorry, folks. I really forgot. Did he slide into her DMs? Was he on vacation? I already forgot like
Yeah,
how
I
their
think
story began.
it, yeah, you're right. I should have done a better job researching the synopsis of this because, yeah, it was obviously weeks ago and, yeah.
Yeah.
Folks, we're both busy people, but I remember what happened was they did spend a lot of time in the Netherlands. Like he spent a crap ton of time there, and that's how he kind of was convincing himself that he was going to move. But then I think he had a change of heart or change of mind. But yeah, Kirsten was already looking at apartments. I have to say, on the looks department, because, yeah, my husband is like, how the hell did he bag someone like her? If you know soccer people, go look up this guy called Memphis Depay. He's Dutch. Julio looks just like him. And if she's anything like a soccer fan, I bet she probably saw him and be like, oh my God, he looks like that soccer star who plays for the national Dutch team. So, Memphis Depay, look him up. Tell me if he looks like Julio. But anyway, I really think she dodged the bullet here. And it sucks that he had to go down that route of trying to expose her and him victimizing himself and painting her as a villain. I think that's really
Trying to
unfair.
make her look bad on the show and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was really dishonest and self-serving to me. Like, that's how you wanted to clear it up. You saved it for the tell-all so that you could like expose these recordings or whatever. I'm like, nah, dude, come on, dude.
Yeah, low blow move.
Yeah. I felt bad for her though, because then everyone started ganging up on her. I was like, nah, that's not cool. Like, he's winning you over with this story, really?
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
okay. She's moved on, hopefully. And I mean, I don't know. He has definitely moved on with someone local, I guess.
Oh,
And
right. Yeah. He's dating somebody else now, right?
yeah. And she suspects that it's that chick that he met too. So I think she was trying to get back with him. And I think as soon as she found out that he met someone at one of his DJing events and they followed each other on social media, that's like the millennial slash Gen Z way of knowing that someone is going to move on, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And y'all are following each other. But yeah, that's definitely a sign, an indicator. That's just so sus. Come on, like all these things are falling into place. Like, of course he was gonna stay. It didn't even look like he wanted to go.
Yeah. Speaking of social media, I guess we shouldn't mess around with Danielle when it comes to social media because that's how she found out that Johan was cheating on her or has been cheating on her. I don't know.
Dang. Y'all, the gas was getting lit last night. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Johan, like, you can't gaslight us all like this.
All of us, right?
She has the receipts. And he's like,
Right? She brought the damn folder, dude. Like, that's a lot of receipts.
his extent was an actual video of him having sex. That was the extent. Like, show me the video where we're sleeping together. I'm like, we don't need to produce that to prove that you're cheating here. Like, come on. She's receiving numerous emails from numerous women. They brought one onto the show who exposed him. Like,
And that's not enough for him to admit that he's a cheater, apparently.
I can't believe that he made it about money problems and stuff like that. I think he became money hungry, and it might have been that way from the beginning. I hate to use the word cow. I don't like to use cash cow as an expression, y'all. I'm not trying to, degrade women here, but like he saw her as a cash cow. And apparently over there, he has friends who have dated white women or American women before who have, played up the sugar mama aspect of the relationship. And he was expecting that from Danielle. And he didn't get it. And when he didn't get it, he started treating her like shit. And it was all bad. Even when she was asking for like the rent and stuff, and he was moving out, and he was like, "Well, you got to give me all my money back and stuff." I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, you're right. I think he heard about how his friends are being showered with gifts and money and green card, and he's thinking that, oh, this is what I should be expecting out of an American woman. And I guess when Danielle expected like a what you call it, like an equitable relationship, he's like, wait, what? Like, you want me to pay for this apartment too? What? Like, you want me to work? You want me to like meet you halfway? How dare you?
Yeah,
You're
valid
supposed.
points though too. We talked about this, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like she went there and she didn't tell him that she was gonna live there until she landed. So he makes valid points. You know he's not making a lot of money, and yet you're gonna expect him to cough up. Fucking, what was it? I they
Sixty
showed the
thousand
math on the
pesos.
screen. Yeah, and it was
Yeah.
like, you know he doesn't make that much money. Like, what are you talking about? And then
Yeah.
again, he made a valid argument where like I think in a previous season, he tried to bargain her down to a different place, but she wanted a gated community with AC and a pool or all this
Yeah.
fucking lavish shit. So like, and then she's like, and you're gonna pay half. Like,
Yeah.
so I understand what he's saying. Like,
Yeah.
what? But then at the same time, I think it was wrong to just kind of use her or expect that he was gonna get spoiled and have a place and have a car and all funded by her. I think that's also not a fair expectation. But
Yep.
I think definitely with her coming with, more stable income and things like that, that it is only fair that she burden a little bit more of the financial responsibility. I still think he did her dirty, though.
Yeah. So, unpopular opinion. I think some people see her as using him as well as a get out of jail card and trying to like escape her debt. Because I think we covered the fact that she was in deep debt, where she's from. And that's why she doesn't want to bring him back to the US, is because she's trying to escape her money troubles here. So I think he kind of knows that, and maybe that's why he's like kind of got her wrapped around his finger in a way where he's like, well, you have no choice, right? Either you fund my lifestyle, otherwise I'm gonna, I guess, rebel. And maybe this is way of rebelling, and it's no excuse, obviously, but I mean, we cannot say that Danielle is 100% saint here. Because the other thing that is very sus is that didn't she say 2 weeks before the tell-all she was hanging out with his family? And I'm like, girl, if you're gonna be coming on to, national TV and exposing his cheating ways, why you be spending time with his family, man? Now you're getting us all confused. I get it, you want to not sever your ties, but there are better ways to, optics-wise, this is such a weird look for you too. Like, why are you still being close with his family? And at the same time, exposing him for the shitty asshole that he is doesn't
And
make
we don't
sense to
know
me.
what's going on behind closed doors,
Right.
I mean, she could still be getting a booty call from him or whatnot. Like,
And
we don't know.
Yeah, and some people think that maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. Maybe they both have something to hide.
The only thing we can say for sure is that he was disloyal, she was not. But on the same note, we can also say she was also using him
Correct.
financially. Maybe he was trying to use her and he wasn't getting the money, but the money was definitely flowing in somebody's benefit there in that relationship.
Yeah, I caught something too that she said. They were going on vacation and she funded those. Clearly, she's okay with funding their lifestyle. I'm not saying that she shouldn't be expecting him to at least meet her midway, but you know, there's a reason why she's staying in DR, you know, and she's using him as a husband.
She can't catch up on her bills.
Yeah.
Catch up on that debt. She keeps doing
Yeah.
it.
Speaking of debt, I suddenly thought about Wayne and Holly. Like, what do you think? Is Holly avoiding going back to South Africa?
Okay, so I understand where Wayne's coming from. It's frustrating to accommodate somebody and to think you're meeting the needs and their concerns. And so I originally backed her for leaving because she felt unsafe. And I understand that. I couldn't stay in a place if I felt unsafe. And he's like, well, you know, there's a generator and you just need to learn how to use it and turn on the electricity and the lights and stuff like that. It's still a scary place. You're not home. She's alone and it's dark. The lights went out and she's not used to it yet.
And
So
they
I
got
understand that.
robbed. I think someone tried to break into their house a few times.
Yeah, I don't know if she was there when it happened, but definitely, like, it happened so frequently that he had to put up extra security measures for
Yeah.
sure. So it is happening. So I definitely supported her decision to be like, look, I'm out, especially when he's not giving her any signs that, when he's like, well, if I had known, what did he say? If I had known it was going to be like this, I wouldn't have dated. When you're saying shit like that, you know what I mean? And kind of making her doubt that you love her or
Yeah,
doubt where
that's
your relationship is at.
hurtful.
Yeah, it's definitely like, okay, fine, I'm out. And I don't know if she wants to go back. If it's for financial reasons, I 100% support that. He's in debt. He hasn't been able to turn his company around yet, apparently. So if she's saying, look, I got to stay behind because somebody's got to pay the bills, like it's a no-brainer. Like she can't go there and then work. Or else you'll be two people in debt. You know what I mean? Like,
She also said her mom is sick
yeah.
or was
So,
sick. Yeah.
valid reasons to stay behind, make some money, pay off your husband's debt, and then really just nail down the communication. Like, how are we going to make this work long distance for a while we pay your debt down, while you get back on track with your company or your business or whatever to where you're making money again? And just really, really put them in a place financially where the relationship can be successful before heading back out there and dealing with her safety concerns and all that stuff. Like get the financial part like figured out first. Yeah, it's going to mean maybe that you're apart for how long, however that takes, and then just work on the communication, because I think he was really being really shitty. And I get it, people can say, oh, you know, maybe he's not that kind of guy and stuff like that, but if this is what she needs in the relationship to feel loved, and she's already paying your bills, you fucking better get another phone. You know what I mean? Get another phone and talk to her. Like that
Yeah.
is the very least you can do for your wife who is paying off your debt. Like the very least is talk to her.
Yeah.
Like, my phone was broken. I'm not gonna get a new one. It's just, I'm not gonna talk to you.
It's a cop out.
That's a
Like,
cop out.
yeah.
Yeah. Total cop out.
I do think that there's some parallels here when it comes to Holly. Like, she's like the female Paul. You know, every time something happens, she tends to run, whether she has shoes on or not.
Oh, is that Paul and Carini?
Yeah. Because
Yeah.
remember how Paul likes to run away too?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, Holly. Like, and she's a woman running away in the middle of South Africa. Again, don't know which suburb she's in, but assuming that it's probably not a safe one. Or maybe it is safe, and that's why she's able to run, just randomly run away with or without shoes.
Your safety
But
concerns went out the window when
I
you
know, dude.
started running like
I get very anxious when I see her like suddenly speed off to like no man's land. You know, like where the hell does she think she's going? Like, Yeah, I do find her behavior like a little bit off-putting. My husband and I think that she might be on some medication. She does look a little bit off, but I can't put my finger onto it. I don't
Like
know.
on the tell-all, you meant
No, just it, throughout the
in the
season.
series.
Yeah. Even during the
Oh.
wedding, I feel like she might be onto something. I don't know what it is. But again, just speculation. I'm not trying to like start a rumor or anything. It's just she does behave in her own ways and it's just a little off sometimes. But anyway, and I'm sorry if I'm judging. But hey, this is, you know, TV, right? So just want to put my opinion out there. Other than that, I think Holly and Wayne, to me, they're not particularly that interesting. I tend to skip their segments quite a bit. What I don't skip is Kimberly and TJ because of, you know, his brother Yash and how they got into it with one another. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if Kimberly can be in this multi-generational home with the family. And again, like, this is another case of like Western women coming to India, not doing their due diligence on how they're expected to behave, or even researching the role that they're going to be playing, right? But coming in like guns blazing, thinking that you can change the society and change the way things have been for thousands of years. You know, like if they're burning cow dung in their kitchen, they're burning cow dung in their kitchen, man. There's nothing you can do. I get it. It's such a rude awakening. I mean, I think in the previous season, like we've seen how like other women have come to India and they're like, what? I have to wake up at 4 a.m. to make chai for all of you. What the hell? Like, how are you not modernized? It's like, well, that's their culture and that's their tradition. That's their expectation of wives. You know, in general, if you marry into an Indian family, that's how it is. But yeah, I guess Kimberly obviously cannot hack it. And I know she left the whole tell-all, you know, making it kind of open-ended between her and TJ. I don't know if I want to see them again because I feel like, you know, seeing Kimberly like act up sometimes is just intolerable to me, insufferable.
So I got a hot take,
Uh-oh.
another one of our unpopular opinions.
Oh, hey.
So 100% she does come off, bratty sometimes and entitled sometimes, but I also believe that there are some things she's justified about. So similar to another couple in India, I forget exactly who, but the living situation wasn't really specified. Like they didn't get into detail about it. And there was even a scene where she's talking to TJ and she's like, wait, you didn't tell me we were going to live with your family. And he
Right.
just kind of brushed it off. He was just like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. And that's just so, like, I get it. And you already told him you're going to marry him and that you're moving there. So like he didn't go into detail about what that would entail. And then I think he manipulated the situation. He knew if he told her, she wouldn't marry him. And again,
Right.
it comes down to, yeah, she should have done the research. I get it, 100%. But also, you have to give them the information to make the decision, the best decision possible, And if you're not giving them that information to make the decision, they're making a decision based on information they do not have, right? It stands to logic. So I think he might have manipulated that situation. In fact, I'm pretty sure he did. When they
Yeah.
showed the scene where he's like, oh, I didn't tell you. Yeah, that's a thing. You have to do that.
Yeah.
So, this is information I could have used before I said I was moving here.
Yeah.
I think the screaming scene was unfair. I think they painted her out to look crazy and that, whoa, look at, she's acting up. She's over here screaming in the house. But this happens when people are isolated and you put them in a room and they're alone and they're in their thoughts and the frustrations they build up, that happens. It happens in solitary confinement. It happens in other real world scenarios. That's just the effects of being alone.
Yep.
And she's alone. She feels trapped in this room. And, she doesn't want to go out and things like that. So then when he comes, she's already under a lot of pressure. So then, when she's not getting what she wants from her husband, I'm giving her a little bit more leeway when she screams and she's out of frustration and going, I fucking love her. You know what I mean? And again, like, yeah, it maybe wasn't the best way to express her frustration, but I get it. And I think what they captured on camera It happens more times than not. And it was filmed in a way to make her look like she was crazy, when I think it's actually a pretty normal experience when people are put under a lot of pressure and they're alone, and they're not getting what they want from their partner. And the only way they can express it is to like scream because they feel like they're not being heard. So I felt that was a little unfair. And the whole argument that she had with what's her face? Jenny. When Jenny and Sumit were there, you know what I mean? Everyone was ganging up on her and stuff like that. And like, I just thought that was unfair because Jenny called her a name first. So, you know what I mean? Cunt is a strong word. I get it. But you're not going to talk to me like that. If someone's going to talk to me in this tone and then call me a name, I'm going to call you a name back. Nobody said that. They're all, do you regret what you said, what you called her? Like, why? You should be asking Jenny that. Nobody thought to ask, why did Jenny come over there like as if she was any better? You know what I mean? Like, she was on a high horse and stuff. Me and Submit, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, like, you didn't respect his parents. I think you put in a better effort for sure. But well, you weren't a gleaming example of how to be an American woman in India. And you're over here like trying to shit on Kimberly. So when Kimberly was like, cunt, like I understood. I was like, she started it. So again, unpopular opinion, you know what I mean? But I don't think she's as bad as the TV is making her out to be.
I mean, first of all, I think Jenny probably came in guns blazing because she wants to be relevant again.
I felt that. I
She just
totally
wants to
felt
start
that.
something. You know,
I
she just wants to
totally
start
felt that.
something. And I think the reason why people were ganging up against Kimberly, like almost guilt tripping her for calling Jenny a cunt, it's probably because they feel sorry for Jenny being the older woman, you know, between the two of them. But yeah, you're right, because Jenny started it first. She came in and she was like, "You're disrespectful. You're disrespecting India."
Leave India and don't
Yeah.
come back.
I
Stay
was
in
like,
America.
wait. Who died and made you the
Right.
tourism board of India or something? Or like, who commissioned that? Anyway, yeah, I totally felt what you said about Kimberly being isolated and obviously without the family support, without knowing a lot of people in India, and yeah, just being trapped in the house with Yash and his parents, and you know, the smell of cow dung. I mean, that's not fun. Especially when you came from a life, you know, in US where it's a little bit more free flowing, you know, you can go out with friends, go to the mall. Like, it's obviously not the same in India. And you're right, I think TJ should have given her a heads up of like, hey, this is what life is going to look like for you when we get married. These are the expectations. You know, the women of the house typically stay home, do housework, whatever, right? Do I believe they have had the talk? I don't know. Maybe they have, and maybe they're doing this for the show. I don't know. But it does seem like Kimberly is miserable. Do I think they still love each other? I think they do. I think Kimberly is probably trying to dramatize this whole thing. I'm not invalidating how she feels, but and why she shouldn't be screaming. I'm just saying, like, I think obviously she's playing it up so that maybe she can continue on being part of the cast member of a 90 Day Fiancé series. But
She wants that camera time.
yeah, exactly. And you know, we all love an unhinged character, right? So again, not invalidating how she might be feeling at that time, being isolated and being all trapped and in that apartment. Again, like I think she and Yash would make good TV, you know, arguing with each other about life in India or how she should behave around the family. It's
But
just,
now they're getting along, so it's like, no more of that. It's
yeah,
like,
I guess, right?
oh yeah, we get
Until the
along
next
now.
time, until the next time they disagree and then he accidentally calls her stupid or something. I don't know. All right, Lon, let's take a break and we will continue with the hot topic that is Brendan and Mary and Shekinah and Supper. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. Just two more couples before we end this podcast. Lon, shall we talk about Mary and Brendan?
Yeah, congratulations, Mary and Brandon, on Baby Midnight.
Oh, she's so cute.
Yeah.
She is the cutest. Ah.
So, yeah, very, 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 very problematic relationship. Toxic, but I think I place more of the blame on Brandon. Let me just say, as an avid gamer, video games are not bad. It's the person who plays them, right? It's the person who's maybe neglecting their duties, their responsibilities to their wife and their children. And I think, they say, oh, he plays video games, and people are like, yeah, fuck video games. Like, it's not the games, y'all. It's like, it's the people. People can set aside time to enjoy the things they like, whether it's video games, whether it's playing a sport or crocheting a sweater. I don't know. People like what they like, and I think people have a right to do the things they love to do, right? Regardless if you have a family or not. So we just wanted to get that out of the way. With that said, though, I think he definitely neglects her needs and his child's needs, and just, name calling. He's not ready for a relationship, much more a marriage. If you're calling, like what people said, the mother of your child, your wife, if you're calling her a bitch and a scammer because you're mad that you can't play your games, like that's just so messed up. And I understand that, they said that, sometimes she acts the way she acts sometimes makes it seem like, oh, when there's money coming in, she's happy, and when there isn't any money there, like she must be a scammer. Y'all, that's just how relationships are. One of the number one reasons, if not the number one reason, for relationships failing is financial issues. So when you put it like that, she's actually acting pretty normal. Like, yeah, I mean, if the money isn't coming, of course you're gonna stress about it, you're gonna worry about it. But I just don't. I just think, Brandon has just been really a shitty person, for the way he's been acting. It's immature. He's not ready, for a relationship. It doesn't seem like he's ready for fatherhood. And I feel really bad. Mary isn't perfect. I get it. But some of the things, I get the double standards. She doesn't understand the double standard of, of being on TikTok and not allowing him to be that way. But they made it seem like, oh, she's really provocative and stuff like that. Y'all, if y'all been on TikTok, man, there's girls twerking, there's girls shaking their booty and stuff. It's not something I would do, but it's definitely not like out of
Not
character
in your
for a young.
speedos, Lon.
Yeah, it's not. I'm just saying, I wouldn't do it, but it's not out of character for young women to be to me
Yeah,
shaking
man.
their booty for clout. Like,
TikTok is for
it's
twerking.
just
I
like,
mean, at least in the Gen Z definition, right? Like, it's for dancing, dude. The TikTok trends are all about dancing. So that's nothing provocative anymore. This is the new normal, at
yeah.
least in my point of view. But I get it. Some of y'all can handle it. Just look away, man. You don't have to be like Shekinah checking out other people's TikTok and
Oh
like
my gosh.
calling them out for being provocative. Like, there's nothing provocative about that anymore.
Not anymore, no.
It's not OnlyFans. It's just TikTok, dude. Like, you can chill out.
Right. She hasn't even done the oh, she hasn't even gone the OnlyFans route yet, y'all. Come on.
Yeah.
Give her a break. What really surprised me, though, about Mary and Brandon's relationship, I think, is the relationship with the mom. I really liked how wholesome that became, and how the mom actually I think genuinely cares for Mary. Yeah, there are times she feels like, or it feels like, she's defending her son, which it definitely felt like, and she got called out for him when Mary was like, she's just defending her son. I saw him slam down that PS5 controller. He was pissed. And the mom was like, well, when he's like that, you need to be calmer, and you need to, no, why don't you tell your son to chill the fuck out
Yeah, dude.
and to be a better person? And she put it on Mary, like, you need to go take a walk, and you need to go handle it better. No, talk to your fucking Talk to Brandon about
Dude,
controlling his emotions,
the
you know?
mom said that, oh, it's not him being mad. He just stepped outside to listen to
Just step
music. I'm
outside,
like,
listen
what?
to music, and have a breather. No. Wait, you know what? It's a PS5 controller, y'all. And those things are expensive. You don't just slam it down and say, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, no, that's not. You're not stepping out for a breather. You're pretty mad, you know? And yeah, it's. She's
Wait,
gonna
but
defend her son. I get it.
for real though, how does he get hold of a PS5? That's
That's
question of the day right there.
where all that
Where
money
did they
went, yo.
sell that? Yeah, exactly. Where, how did they afford the PS5? Like even living in the first world country, like you know how hard that is to get
Yeah.
PS5? Like I have relatives from Portugal asking us to get a PS5 because it's that hard to get a PS5 in a first world country, let alone in the Philippines. I'm not saying Philippines is like what, but like it's just hard to get a PS5. And especially if you're living in a rural area, dude, like how?
Yeah.
You gotta explain how. But anyway, Lon, I just have I two things I want to point out, and it's probably like hot takes and unpopular opinions here. First is, I resent the fact that Mary's being called a gold digger. At some, I think I'm not sure if she was called a gold digger during the tell-all, but at some point, I think it was insinuated that she was gold digging. I think the mom thought that was the case. I think the mom did call her a gold digger, if I'm not wrong. Whether it's for dramatic effects or otherwise. I just resent that because it paints the picture of like, a Filipina or like someone from the third world trying to, hustle their way, or trying to empty the bank account of an American. I mean, first of all, y'all, Brandon is a broke ass bitch, okay? He came to the Philippines, and guess what? Mary has a business. It's not him. He didn't come with money, okay? Brandon's a broke ass bitch, okay? So that's why I asked about that PS5. Like, who got him that PS5? Anyway, I just resent the fact. Let's just put it out there. Whether it's Mary and Brandon or someone else, I just don't like how it's always painted that, us Asians, being with an American, we're like gold digger or something. It's like, no, like that shouldn't be the stereotype, I
Right.
feel, So that's a dangerous stereotype, I feel. That's one. Number two, I take umbrage and I resent the fact that a problem can be solved through therapy. And let me explain why. Therapy is a privilege that people in the first world country has. You
Facts.
cannot Yeah, you cannot prescribe that for everyone in the fucking world that they have to go through therapy. That's privilege. That's you having access to a clinical therapist, and while other people, I mean, what the fuck do they have in that village? Who is the therapy in that village? Think about that. Like maybe a witch doctor, like who? They would probably have
Right.
to travel all the way, like 2 or 3 hours into the city, the closest city, to actually see a psychologist or a family therapist. Their therapist is probably a priest,
You're right.
So don't go around telling people that, hey, you guys need to go to therapy. And I get it, there are therapists online, but like I just resent the fact that everyone thinks that a problem can be solved by therapy. It just screams of privilege, Like you're like don't do that to people from rural areas and from the global south. Like not everything has to be a Western medication.
Right. And
That's
she
just my
did
hot take.
also, Mary also pointed out the stigma that comes with that. Y'all,
Yeah, crazy people
we've
go to.
made, yeah, we've made strides here in America to not stigmatize mental health issues, and it's become, more accepted over the years. But I want to say, maybe 10, 20 years ago, that was also still the mentality that, like, oh, you're seeing a therapist, and it was pretty serious. So, like, it was only recently that we started to frame it in
Advocate
a,
for mental
yeah,
health, yeah.
right, advocate for, and we're still trying to advocate
Yeah.
for mental health and things like that. So, in other parts of the world, it's still very stigmatized. So yeah, and then Mary brought that up. Like, people are gonna think I'm a crazy person and all these things, and it's not as simple. It's not as black and white as go to therapy and it'll everything will get better. You know, it's yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. I just, that's not like a one size fits all type of situation where you can just spew out like, oh, you need to go to therapy. It's like, okay, think about where they are right now and think about how they're trying to make ends meet, and that's not the way to help them, maybe they do need coaching from you, mom. Some life advice from you, maybe you have to be there for them, not outsource that to another, whoever that would be, a therapist that they may not have access to. So
Right.
again, I think it's just I just resent the fact that, people in the Western world, they just easily prescribe that, like it's not stigmatized in other parts of the world, or it's available, it's
Readily
accessible.
accessible, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my rant. Are we ready to move on to
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, one size fits all solutions that don't apply to everybody. This relationship of Shekinah and Sarper, a very unique one.
seriously, dude, how is no one mentioning the fact that he may have chlamydia or like STD or something? I mean,
Yeah. Did he
sorry,
get checked though, right?
I hope he did, but
Yeah.
if he be fucking this many people, sorry, I guess I should edit that out because we won't be monetizing, I guess, if we say out some bad vulgarity here. But like, how be he be like begging 2,500 women and not contract anything?
Yeah,
What is that science?
that's crazy. But apparently, like what she said was, I think it's a requirement when she dates, and I think she said it that she requires that they get checked, and then she also goes through a check herself. And I
Oh.
was just like, wow, that was impressive. He's like 100% like, okay, he's been cleared. I don't know what the percentage is really, but he's been cleared apparently, right? So
Dude, condom companies need to sponsor this guy. Like, it really works on him. Like, 2,500 times worked on him that he's clean. Like, yeah.
So, where do we start? Oh my gosh.
I actually read a Reddit AMA, so ask me anything, right? And someone sort of like blew the whistle on Shekinah, and apparently Shekinah isn't a pleasant person at work. And I think it shows too during the tell all how she gives out this misogynist vibe too. Like, she has internal misogyny in her where she's like, she defends the guy in the relationship but doesn't see the women's side of it. And I'm like, as a woman, obviously I'm disappointed that she goes for the jugular with the women rather than defend the women. And I'm not surprised because she is in a relationship where her own men call her and her sister bitch and slut. So should I be surprised?
Yeah.
I guess not. But you know what? The beauty about this is that it works. She's a fame whore who has a boyfriend that controls her and she likes it. And he's a control, he likes to control her. So they work. And I don't know why people are so like having their panties in a twist here because of it, because that's them. It's just like, remember Nicola and, oh gosh, what's her name? That dude from Israel and,
Yeah.
oh sorry, that dude from occupied Palestine and that
Right.
chick, right? It's like
Love
yeah,
that.
you know what I mean? Like, it works. Like, why are you judging that? It works. So yeah, they both are assholes, but it works for the for two for the both of them. So yeah.
Right. So we're full of, you know, perhaps hot takes and unpopular opinions this episode. I'm with you there. I'm with you there. And so my read on Shekinah and Sarper is, you know, I think they're defending the relationship they have, which brings me to why I said what I said about this one size fits all. Y'all, not everyone's relationship is gonna be the same, and you know, we're it works for them because their personalities are different. And she, so I want to point out some things. Like, I don't think Shekinah like loves to be controlled. I think she knows she has an equal, it's going to be difficult. I get it, but hear me out. I think she has as much power as Sarper does in the relationship, and they know that balance of power.
Yep.
They understand that that balance of power exists. She's not a pushover, right? I think she lets him get away with things that she's open to him getting away with. But she does put her foot down when she doesn't want something. When she's like, we're not having the baby. She's like, no, that's not, that's th that we're done. And she walked off. She left him. She left his ass. And he came begging back. When he brought out the notebook and when she saw the bottles, she's like, I ain't coming back to you until you get rid of that. It's because she has that power. And they know this.
Yeah.
There's an understanding between the two of them that there's stuff she's willing to put up with, and there's stuff that that she's not. And she'll put her foot down and fucking walk away from this relationship when it doesn't serve her anymore.
Yep.
And like, she doesn't, to me, it's I don't think that she likes to be controlled. I think she likes that she drives him crazy, knowing that she can. She cannot be controlled, and he's trying to control her. I think that's a different perspective. Like when he flew off the handle, when she was at the gym because she didn't, you know, she was talking about, oh, we talked about not kissing other bitches and all this stuff. And he's like, why are you in the dressing room? I can't talk to you. Blah. And he flew off the handle. There was a look on her face of like satisfaction that she pissed him off, that she drove him that to that extent where like. I told you what the punishment was going to be if you if you crossed me, you know what I mean? And I saw that flash of like satisfaction that she got. So there's this like, you know, this tug of war that they're going, and it's a dance to them.
Yep.
So like, and again, that may seem odd to us, but not all relationships are the same. And of course, we see it as some guy that's trying to control her and she's putting up with it. But that's not the way that they have it framed in their minds, and to them, it's not as toxic as we see it to
Yeah.
be, right? So that's kind of the read that I have on their relationship. Because, like I said, when she saw the notebook, when she's talking about the bottles, when she's talking about having a baby, those are things she will not budge on. And when she doesn't want to budge on something and she puts her foot down, she puts her foot down. And he's
Yep.
gonna have to respect that or she'll walk the fuck off.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I just understand, maybe not fully, but I understand to a degree this type of relationship that serves them, and they both kind of get what they want out of it. And it's difficult for her to listen to people judge her and to judge Sarper. Now, with all that said, I didn't even talk about Sarper really. Sarper, y'all, unpopular opinion, but he's been my favorite cast member this entire season.
Damn.
Yeah, he's been my, and yeah,
Is it because he's real? Is it because he keeps it real?
he keeps it real, and it's to me,
That's the real him.
it's almost innocent. There's an innocence to it. He's not doing all this stuff because he's a bad person. It's almost like he doesn't understand that it's bad. And so the things that he says, he doesn't know that, like, he doesn't know that he comes off like aloof. It's unlike what's his face, who was a guest, Andre,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Like Andre, you know that he's intimidating to be intimidating, and they try to vouch for him. Oh no, that's just his voice. No,
Yeah.
I think when you stand up and you walk to where somebody is sitting and you're looking down, that's an intentional intimidation. You're trying to be a bad guy here. And the way he, you know, the way Andre treats Libby is very, very different, I think, than the way Sarper treats Shekinah.
Yeah.
You can see that even though he's rough, that Sarper's rough around the edges, you can kind of see that he still respects her. It's weird that he's telling her, I want you to, but he's like, you're gonna weigh this weight, right? You're gonna be like, you can see that there's like care there. Whereas Andre, when he talks to Libby, there's just no respect. So like, it's he's I don't villainize Sarper. The way I villainize Andre, because I just think there's just things he doesn't quite understand. Maybe it's he doesn't understand our Western standards of how things should be. You know, again, back to the one size fits all. We're trying to put like what we like think like guys are and relationships are, and we measure him to these standards, and we're like, this guy's a bad guy. But I don't think he doesn't come off that way to me. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's a strange kind of dichotomy that I grapple with. But he's very entertaining. I don't think anyone can deny that. The things he says are completely outrageous. Like, I think when everyone hears that he slept with 2,500 women, it's just like, what are you even talking about?
And he keep tabs. He has that notebook.
The Notebook.
Oh
Oh my
gosh, where
gosh.
he even color coded.
That I died. Okay, what do the colors mean? And he's like, color is how pretty they are.
Dead.
I fucking lost it. I was like,
I can see what you mean, Lon. Like there is an innocence to it. Like it's almost like he doesn't realize that he's so wrong. He's so wrong when it's like it doesn't filter that way to him. Like when we obviously for us it's like outrageous, but for him it's like just a normal day. This
Right.
is a normal day in the life of supper, you know, like.
Yeah. Some days I slept with two women. Like it just comes so like to us it's like but like if this is his norm, if this is his normal and he's been living this way, like it's like his reality is so far different from ours. Like it's so unbelievable. To him he's just these are normal things to him, and he's like he tells us, oh, but I don't like that guy anymore. That I'm a changed guy, right? Doesn't he refer to that guy as a different name or something?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Isaac, is that the name? I forget, but like, I'm not proud of that. And he looks genuinely not, but he does look like he's trying to hold on to these things. That's why he has a notebook and bottles and stuff, right? Like,
Yeah, they're conquests.
yeah.
They're like trophies, you know?
I'm not proud of this past. But I do want to remember it, like his glory days.
His glory days. Yeah, he looks different though. I think he aged really well. I think we saw his like younger photos. Like he still looks good, and then now he looks just as good, you know, just older, and maybe that's why he's trying to hang on to his carefree life of just going around and sleeping
He's
around.
a changed man, though, and I understand what he means when he tells Shekinah that, like, no, that was the guy I used to be, and you changed that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this I did this for you. Like, because this is the guy I used to be, and I changed for you.
Yeah.
Like, and he tried to put that on her. Like, that's the reason I have this.
Yeah. It is alarming that I guess no one on her family blessed this relationship. I think you can tell that people are very concerned and alarmed by their relationship. So that's very telling. And hopefully they do last. Hopefully this comes to something, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe we might see them again. I don't know.
I think it makes for great TV. I will
It
say that
does.
much. I don't know whether it's going to succeed because yeah, I vouched for their relationship, but that doesn't mean that I don't see problems with it.
Yeah.
Okay? Hey, let me be clear on that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this relationship is perfectly fine. I'm saying relationships are different across the board. This is something that works for them. We're not understanding it 100%. We don't, you know, see it a particular way. But even though I vouch for that, that's not to say that I believe that this is a completely healthy relationship.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me put that out there first. So whether or not they last, I'm not 100% sure, but would I choose to see them over every other couple on this season? Yeah. Well, give me more of Armando and Kenny, obviously, but like Shekinah and Sarper, sign me up. Sign me the fuck up. I'll watch another season of them to see where they go.
So I guess to conclude, are they like the most WTF couple then?
I think so. I think Sarper himself
It's a WTF moment.
Is he just a
He's a moment.
walking? He's
He's a mood, a moment, a
if
meme.
90 Day Fiance WTF was a person, right? Like
Yeah.
fucking Sarper opening his mouth. This is
He's our
it.
mascot then.
Yeah. He could have a fucking Twitter or an X, right? Or a
Yeah.
Threat account of
Yeah.
him just saying the most off the wall shit. Like, sorry, you're gonna need to edit this, yeah, for monetization purposes. If you have to do it, but like
No, there's still a lot of things I need to edit out, obviously. But yeah, I was gonna ask you too, like, is there anyone else that you'd like to see returning? And I'm guessing you obviously want to see Shekinah and Sarper, Kenny and Armando. Anyone else that you'd like to continue watching their journey?
I wouldn't mind seeing more of Mary and Brandon. I'm Filipino for the all that haven't been with us for a while, but for those who do, I'm Filipino, so I'm on the fence when it comes to the relationships that are in the Philippines, only because they hit close to home for me. I usually don't like how it's more than likely don't like how they depict the Philippines, and like you said, Nadia. It's always portrayed as, women are the gold diggers and looking for American men and things like that. But it's the Philippines, and I like to see like how the Filipinos are doing on the show, and then the glow up afterwards and stuff. So I wouldn't mind seeing more of Mary and Brandon, also because I do want to see Brandon like mature and hopefully treat Mary better.
Yep.
But really, I think that would be it. I'm curious about Kimberly and TJ, but not enough to want to see them again. And I don't really want to see Julio, but I'd be down to see what Kirsten's up
Yeah,
to.
if Kirsten got cast in like the single life, just like Chantel is going to be, yeah, I would definitely watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I think that is the end of our coverage of the 90 Day Fiance The Other Way season 5. I should have led with that, but sorry guys. You're probably listening in and you're like, what are these guys talking about? Well, it is the previous season of The Other Way season 5, I believe, and there was a three-part tell all and we're covering it because we haven't been doing any podcasts, so we figured like this is the best way to get back on the horse. Anything else, Lon, before we end this recording.
Really quick, just want to shout out to everybody that's stayed dedicated to the podcast. We love y'all, we appreciate y'all, and we hope this coverage of the three-part tell-all was entertaining. I had a good time.
Yeah, don't cancel us yet.
Free Palestine.
Yeah. Yep, and definitely advocating for a ceasefire. Shout out to the Pope who recently allowed priests around the world, okay, at least Catholic priests, to my knowledge, to bless LGBTQ marriages, if I'm not wrong. I could be misphrasing here, but shout out to the Pope. He also called for a ceasefire. That's the least we all can do, ask for a ceasefire. No more genocide and killing of children. I, as a mom, am deeply affected by seeing all these children being killed. So on both sides, obviously, but please ceasefire. No more wars. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Anything else, Lon, you want to recommend? Or shout out to Screen Rant for
We
ranking.
apologize, Screen Rant. We're late on that, but
Yeah,
we did catch your article. Thanks. We're like 2 years late.
we are. Oh my God,
I
that is
think that
so
article is from
embarrassing.
21. Yeah.
Lord, that is so embarrassing. But yeah, shout out to Screen Rant. Hey, you didn't tag us, so we didn't know. I'm
Yeah.
sorry.
Thanks for putting us in the top 10 of the best
90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiance
But that was 2 years
podcasts.
ago. Now we're obviously out of that ranking since we no longer record that often. But yeah, happy holidays to our listeners. I'm guessing by the time this gets uploaded, it's probably New Year. So happy
Happy
New
New
Year as well.
Year.
Hope to do this more often. But in the meantime, be kind to one another and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.